Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. I was looking at the picture that hangs in the hallway in our house this afternoon. It is, you've all seen this picture. Everyone's seen this picture. It is the famous portrait of Jesus. He stares off to the right. There is a light shining upon him. It highlights the highlights in his beautifully combed hair, his flawlessly manicured beard. He has a look of serenity. I call it Jesus' graduation picture. Is this an accurate picture of Jesus? Already, now it was painted, by the way, during a time of great romanticism. Now that's a period in religious history when the hymns and the songs and the prayers and the preaching and the art all reflected a very romantic picture of Jesus. His eyes glisten, long batting eyelashes. We would call him in today's parlance metrosexual, well-groomed. He is obsequious. He is kind. There is no irony. There is no sarcasm. There are no rough edges at all on this Jesus. How would you summarize this Jesus? He's nice. But that's just about all he is. Is Jesus a nice guy? Should Christian men be nice guys? We're going to talk about Christian nice guy syndrome tonight on Issues Etc. We'll be taking your questions and comments on that subject for the next 2 hours. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, and our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Now, before we introduce our guest, welcome to our listeners in Monroe, Louisiana. They listen on KAPI 88.3 FM. It's great to have you as a part of the Issues Etc. family. Paul Coughlin is a regular guest on the program. He's father of three children in Southern Oregon. He's a radio talk show host, and he's author of the new book, No More Christian Nice Guy. Paul, welcome back.
Hey, Todd. Great to be with you.
Early in your book, you say that in many Christian churches, the Jesus we hear preach, the Jesus we sing about or pray about, is really Jesus the bearded woman. What do you mean by that?
Well, it is a bit tongue-in-cheek, but the Jesus that we have grown up with, the Jesus that we have been told about, is always safe, always nurturing, always kind, never has a bad word to say. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it at all. That seems to be the Jesus that we have been told about. He's a good little Jewish boy who never gets out of line. And he apparently didn't get out of line when he was older. And I'm making a bit of a joke there. I'm poking fun at the caricature that we've been given. This Jesus that, as you said previously, there's no irony, there's no sarcasm, no harsh words coming out of his mouth. It is simply not, that is a Jesus, but it is not the Jesus of the Gospels. We have an entirely different Jesus who was amazingly kind and compassionate and loving in ways that would make, well, that made their contemporaries squirm, and probably makes us squirm a bit today too. But he was also amazingly assertive and willful and passionate, and he couldn't stand injustice, and he couldn't stand pretense or dissimulation. We have in Jesus this fantastic example of someone who traveled the behavioral spectrum, but he did not sin in the process. Unbelievably tender, unbelievably tough. And this is the man who said that everything he did brought glory to his Father. So that must include, Todd, we have to conclude that picking up a whip in the temple brought glory to his Father. But this is not a sermon, and this is not a message that we are accustomed to hearing.
So what is essentially wrong with the nice guy Jesus that so many of us have become accustomed to hearing about, so that if we actually encounter the real Jesus in Holy Scripture as he is, we're a bit shocked and put off?
What's wrong with it, at least in regard to Christian men, and that's who I write to. This book that I've written is designed to help passive men become more assertive, to join what I call the good guy rebellion. What's wrong with it is a false example. men are expected to only stay on the hush puppy side of life. When they do that, it is impossible to bring glory to God. It is impossible to reach the abundant life Jesus said he came to give us, but then also warned, very hard to find. If you think that you have to be nice all the time, you will never really live the life God wants you to live. You're not going to protect your family very well. You're not going to provide for them well. You certainly aren't going to stand up for truth very well. You will essentially be fodder for this world systems, this world belief. Being the kind of person that unfortunately many churches encourage Christian men to be really means you're going to be of the world as opposed to being this redemptive source of light and truth that Jesus came to help us be.
Now, let's talk a bit about the way that men have related to the nice guy Jesus. A number of books have been written of late. I can think of a couple right off the top of my head that are trying to explain why men are staying away from church. Why, at least in the U.S., the proportion between men and women on Sunday morning is growing and growing and growing. We're talking about 60% women in the average church, 40% men, and that's in the U.S., and that gap is getting wider. So how are men reacting to the kind of Jesus they're hearing about, this false, nice guy Jesus?
They just can't relate to him. You know what's interesting, Todd, is that the word nice, you know, currently means amiable, agreeable. But if you look at the history of this word, it is far from a compliment to call someone a nice guy. Nice has also meant dainty, unable to endure much, effeminate. This notion that the ideal Christian man needs to be nice drives men away from the church because it is not necessarily part of our makeup. A person doesn't really want to, a guy doesn't really grow up and want to be innocuous, amiable all the time. There's something within men that want to be part of something, you know, greater than them, and women as well. But with men, there's something in them that wants to be part of, to share in this powerful, important mission that Jesus set out for his disciples and his students at the time. But for some reason, we've really kind of lost that throughout the years in regard to what it means to be a Christian man today. I mean, I think many Christian men today, there's no way we would make the military, for example. We wouldn't make the cut. We couldn't get through boot camp because we have been told that really life is a very comfortable venture, that the ideal Christian man never does conflict, and if he is going to fight, the only way he's going to fight is through prayer. And I'm all for prayer, don't get me wrong, but you simply don't see that in the Gospels. You see people of action, and prayer is action. But you also see people who aren't, oftentimes, I don't know if you've seen this, but particularly within evangelical circles, when someone says, well, you know, I'll pray about that, that's often code word for it's not something I'm ever going to do, so I'm just going to hide behind this Christianese and give my fear, give my passivity a spiritual glimmer, and that way I can kind of get you off my trail. You know, another statement is, I have a check in my spirit about that, or I don't have a peace about that. Well, okay. If a peace about something is our criteria for doing something, I am so grateful that Jesus did not follow that criteria, because if he did, he never would have gone to the cross for my sins.
That's the real danger, folks, of the nice guy Jesus. We're talking with Paul Coughlin about Christian nice guy syndrome. The real danger of the nice guy Jesus is, well, he never would have gone to the cross for anybody. But the real Jesus that we meet in Scripture is a Jesus who is bound and determined to get to that cross. He is so concerned, so passionate about sinners, and so passionate about dying for them, paying for their sins and bearing their sins at the cross, that nothing stands in his way. Nothing. Not his own disciples, not his enemies, not his friends, not his family. And the Jesus that we meet there is a Jesus who is cross-bound, not nice, but good for us. That's the real danger. The nice guy Jesus just won't die for us. He'll sit there and pat us on the back and sympathize with us and say, I feel your pain. And maybe even say, well, I'll pray for you. and then let us go our way. Well, we can't go our way. Jesus won't let us go our way. He takes our sin in his body to the cross, and the real Jesus pays for it there. Because the real Jesus is a real man. When we come back from this break, we'll talk more with Paul Coughlin about Christian Nice Guy Syndrome. Our call in number 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Dr. Jeff Gibbs of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis about why you should support LCMS World Relief.
There is such dire need. Americans are so parochial. We just think about ourselves. We were in Germany last year. The news is international, and you come back to the United States, and all we think about is ourselves. See? But the world is God's world, and God's compassion needs to go out. And LCMS World Relief is one of the great ways that people can actually take what they have and share it with tsunami victims and people starving to death, and they can do it knowing that it will be shared in the name of Christ. Christ will be glorified in LCMS World Relief, and that's why we should support it.
For more information about LCMS World Relief, go to our website, issuesetc.org, and look on the homepage for their logo, or call them at 314-996-1683. 314-996-1683.
For sinners only, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
If you enjoy listening to Issues, Etc. on the weekends, did you know that you can listen to 12 new hours of Issues, Etc. each week on the Internet? All you have to do is go to our website, issuesetc.org, click the worldwide KFUO logo, and there you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7, including 12 new programs weekly. The website address again, issuesetc.org.
How would you like to meet Issues Etc. regular guests Wesley Smith, Beverly Yonke, Gene Edward Veith, James Lamb, Bob Weiss, David Menton, and Nathan Jastrom all in one day? Well, they'll be speaking at the Image of God Bioethics Conference Friday, November the 11th at the Sheraton Westport Lakeside Chalet in St. Louis. For more information, go to our website, issuesetc.org, and join us as we broadcast live from the Image of God Bioethics Conference November the 11th in St. Louis. Did you read in the news this week about this alleged study in the Journal of the American Medical Association on the issue of fetal pain? Very confusing. What was it, a study? Who knows? What did it conclude? How can we sort fact from fiction on stories like these? Well, there's a great opportunity for you to cut through all of the scientific jargon and sometimes doublespeak and learn how to deal biblically with issues like fetal pain and abortion and other issues of life. It's the Image of God Bioethics Conference coming up November the 11th here in St. Louis. You can join Issues Etc. regular guests there, Wesley Smith, Gene Edward Veith, Beverly Yonke, and others, for this must-attend bioethics conference. For more information, look for the Image of God logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. It's Friday, November the 11th, here in St. Louis, the Image of God Bioethics Conference. We're talking about Christian Nice Guy Syndrome with Paul Coughlin. Paul, what is Christian Nice Guy Syndrome? You say you're a former Christian Nice Guy.
Yeah, a Christian Nice Guy often has to battle three profound forces that encourage passivity in their lives. All Christian men, all men in general, actually have to battle a cultural prejudice against men. Our culture is at best confused about masculinity, and at worst, it vilifies it. You just can't really be a guy. I'm not talking about a guy's vices either. I'm not talking about maybe propensity toward violence or anything like that. I'm just talking a guy behaving the way guys do. It's not necessarily sinful. It's just part of their genetic makeup. Well, apparently in our culture, when we ask the question, what's wrong with the world, atop the list is men. Men are what's wrong with the world, particularly, you know, white men is the politically correct answer. So there's a cultural prejudice against men handed to us largely from the feminism of the 60s and 70s that got very out of hand. It went from fighting inequality toward women to shaming the very being of men. So all men suffer that one. Christian men suffer another level of misconception, another horseman of an apocalypse, so to speak, to encourage them to be passive in life, and that's because they are shown largely a caricature of Jesus. Again, this gentle Jesus, meek and mild, that simply, this view, it's as fictitious, Todd, as the Da Vinci Code. It is not biblical. I encourage people who disagree with me, read the Gospel of Mark. It doesn't take very long. It's very straightforward, kind of Hemingway-esque. It's stripped down. It keeps things to its essence. Not very flowery writing, rather. And then read the Gospel of Mark, and then ask yourself this fundamental question. Is Jesus a nice guy? Change the name from Jesus to Jack or Jim. And then ask yourself the question, is Jim a nice guy? I do that in the book for readers. It starts on around page 37. The clear answer is that Jesus is not nice. He is good, and there's a huge difference. And then for some men, there is a third component to passivity, and this is what I suffered as well. It's the psychology of passivity. I had an upbringing that was kind of a confusing mixture of love and abuse, very, very, very conditional love, and you know, it was the kind of behavior that if you wanted to drive rats crazy and experiment, that's the kind of stuff that I got as a kid. A lot of verbal, mental, psychological abuse, a lot of physical abuse. And what a person does, largely, to that sort of treatment over time, long endurance, a good amount of time, good amount of frequency of that kind of behavior, usually makes one of two decisions in life. That person either becomes hyperly aggressive, basically saying this sort of treatment will never happen to me again in life, and that they become belligerent. We all know people like that. And or there's the opposite response to that kind of treatment. These people become passive. A Christian nice guy, and when I say nice guy, I mean passivity in disguise. A Christian nice guy, this is his motto in life. If I live small, my troubles will be few. But of course, this isn't the biblical view of life, and we know from common sense that if you live small, actually your troubles will be greater. But they don't quite see that until they see the role that fear and anxiety play in their life. And, you know, we're told very straightforward in the Bible that perfect love casts out fear. I can speak from experience that the opposite is also true. Perfect fear casts out love. When fear and anxiety were in the driver's seat of my life, I could not really receive God's love, and I couldn't really receive the love of those around me. But then also I couldn't really give it. I didn't really know how. My emotions were just too shut down. But when fear is out of the driver's seat of a passive Christian man's life, big difference, big difference.
Paul, there are churches that would recognize the cultural influence of feminism, radical
yeah.
leftist feminism, out there in the culture in a flat second. They can see it wherever it is.
Yeah.
And yet it sounds as though some of the presuppositions, especially as you say, that prejudice against men and masculinity has been taken into the church almost wholesale. Talk about that, if you would.
Well, I tell you what, a good example of that is Mother's Day and Father's Day, right? Mother's Day, women are just put up on a pedestal. They can do no wrong. They're just the center, largely the center. Center of the universe. It's as if the spiritual realms have been remade. You've got God. You've got the angels, then just right below the angels, you've got women, and then there's us hairy men, right? And then on Father's Day, if it's even noticed at church, it's an opportunity to tell men how they need to do it better. I mean, we would never think for a second during Mother's Day at church to tell women they're not doing it right. Why? You'd lose them, for one. You'd offend them, they'd never come back. And then, two, there is this prejudice against men. Again, what's wrong with the world? It's men. Women are great. In fact, I attended a church at one time, and I don't think this is a unique experience. I bet your callers, or rather your listeners, can relate to this next illustration. I attended a church where the minister on a regular basis said, essentially, that women were more spiritual and more moral than men. Now, Todd, I'm no expert on the Bible. I'm just a layman. But I know two things about the Bible. It cares a lot about morality and cares a lot about spirituality. nowhere does it ever say that women are more moral and spiritual than men. But do not put that past contemporary and popular Christianity to give us that boatload of nonsense. The fact is we are equally sinners. We are equally in need of God's grace. No one gender is better or worse than the other. We're all in the same boat.
We're talking with Paul Coughlin about Christian nice guy syndrome. He is father of three children in Southern Oregon. He's a radio talk show host and author of the book No More Christian Nice Guy, How Being Nice Instead of Good Hurts Men, Women, and Children. When we come back from this break, we're going to be talking about those three areas, the marriage, family, and work, where the Christian nice guy syndrome, well, it might be what you think Jesus wants. But it hurts wives and children, and it hurts men at work. By the way, you can read an excerpt from Paul's book, Christian Nice Guy, No More Christian Nice Guy, on our website, issuesetc.org. Under the What's New section, you'll find this excerpt and the Good Versus Nice Test, the website address, issuesetc.org. Our call-in number is 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Shortly after this break, we'll begin to take your questions and comments. Also, our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org. We're talking about Christian Nice Guy Syndrome this Sunday night. It's August the 28th, 1-800-730-2727. So when we come back, what's the difference between nice and good? What's the difference between a Christian nice guy and the good men that we are called to be as God's children through Jesus Christ, our Savior? It's a big difference, and it's a difference that makes a difference in all of our lives. Do you hear something familiar in what we've been talking about so far? A nicey-nice Jesus, and then all the men in the congregation, why can't you be more like Jesus? He was so nice. He never criticized or judged or offended or got angry. Perhaps you see something familiar in the description we've been making so far in yourself as well. 1-800-730-2727 is our call-in number. In the postmodern marketplace of ideas, Christians today must constantly distinguish between the God of Christianity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the generic God of American civil religion. Is this confrontation between Christianity and civil religion a new problem for Christians? How did American civil religion change in the last 50 years to become less like Christianity and more like Buddhism? Find answers to these questions and more in our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, The Anonymous God, The Church Confronts Civil Religion and American Society. This book is edited by two Issues Etc. regular guests, Dr. David Adams and Dr. Ken Sherb. For more information about The Anonymous God, go to our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Todd Wilkin here again. I'm talking with Pastor Mark Schaefer. He's coordinator of continuing education and related events for Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Mark, how can a layperson benefit from attending one of the fall retreats at Concordia Theological Seminary?
These retreats offer some specific training, like the one coming up September 30th and October 1st and 2nd is specifically geared for lay leaders of the congregation, people who are in the positions of president, vice president, elder, deacon, people who are in the position to be leaders in the congregation can learn about what their role is and how they can work with the pastor. Also, there in this particular treat, there's a review of Lutheran doctrine. Who are we as Lutherans? What's our teaching? What are our beliefs? Even talking about worship life of Lutherans. And so And also there's a lot of opportunities to fellowship with other Lutheran Christians who are probably in the same boat, having some of the same struggles as leaders in the parish of how to deal with day-to-day running the congregation. So there's an opportunity to learn from the instructor and to learn from one another and to, you know, reemphasize what we are as Lutherans.
So do people who attend these fall retreats participate in the worship life of Concordia Theological Seminary?
Oh, yes. Every day there is chapel, and that is part of the schedule. We allow for the all the participants to go to chapel and to worship with the seminarians. And also, you know, they can oftentimes, if they're on, there's meals involved, they eat in the same cafeteria as the seminarians do. And so, yes, there's opportunity to interact with the seminarians themselves.
Finally, Mark, talk about the commitment of Concordia Theological Seminary to having an educated laity.
Yes, we're trying to offer these retreats and to encourage. We're hoping to get more people involved with these retreats. It's so important that you know, the church, we have faithful pastors, but we also have faithful laypersons. The church can't exist without people, and the more that our lay people understand their role and how they fit in the church, you know, I think it's good for the church's mission, it's good for the church's service, it's good for the worship life of the church, too.
For more information about Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, or our website, issuesetc.org. Next week on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss the Book of Mormon with Art Vanek. He's author of the book, Who Really Wrote the Book of Mormon? Was the Book of Mormon handed to Joseph Smith by an angel, or was it created by Smith from another work of fiction? Who was Solomon Spaulding? Did he have a connection with Joseph Smith? We'll talk about all of that next week on Issues Etc. with Art Vanek. Now, if you'd like to know what we'll be discussing for the rest of September, visit our website, issuesetc.org. And while you're there at the website, be sure to check out our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August. The Anonymous God, The Church Confronts Civil Religion and American Society. Is the God of American Civil Religion the same as the God of Orthodox Christianity? You can find out with The Anonymous God. Now, you can order this book by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours. Their toll-free number is 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The book is $16.99 plus shipping and handling. Or you can browse before you buy right there at our website, issuesetc.org. Look there on the homepage for The Anonymous God, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August. Paul Coughlin is our guest. We're talking about Christian nice guy syndrome. So what's the difference, Paul, between being good and nice?
Well, again, in my book and from my experience, nice is often a disguise for fear and passivity. So a fearful and passive person isn't really going to love God or their neighbor as themselves. They're just not going to do it. They're going to hide behind a deceptive smile. They're going to pretend everything is great. But all the while, they simply will not extend themselves very much for others. And they're certainly not going to go out of their way to bring glory to God. A good person, on the other hand, willfully enters into conflict, into boldness. They're not jerks. And at the same time, they're not all that apologetic. They have a mission. They move ahead the way you talked about Jesus, just absolutely bent for the cross, regardless of what the critics said, regardless of what his own family said, what his own students said. He knew the truth, and he was going to live out that truth. Nice people often, too, they're often naive. They don't really see the world as it really is. Sadly, I think too much of contemporary Christianity actually encourages that type of living, as opposed to good people. And good people are shrewd. They're wise. They're even cunning in the best sense of the word. You know, Jesus said that we are to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Yet, I think if your listeners were to think about their Christian experience, whether or not they're still in church, whether or not they walked away, you probably have a number of people who have walked away, given some of the topics that you touch upon. if they think about the sermons that they have heard, they probably, like myself, have heard countless sermons on what it means to be innocent as a dove, but precious few on what it means to be wise as a serpent. And that admonition from Jesus has also been translated in being shrewd as a serpent and being cunning as a serpent. Now, come on, Todd. The ideal Christian man isn't supposed to be cunning. He's not supposed to be shrewd, according to our definition. But apparently, according to Jesus' definition, they are supposed to be. We're not supposed to be, you know, these innocuous, docile presence in life. We are to be setting the tone of things. But we cannot set the tone of things if we follow this Jesus, this fictitious Jesus, who never got angry, for example, never lost his patience, never crossed swords, never was moved to passion and pity. We believe largely in this robotic Jesus who didn't really live. But if you look at the Gospels, you see a being, you see a presence who is more passionate than those around him. He is more willful. He is more confrontational. When I was younger, Todd, I used to think, how come we only have, by give or take, 3 years of his recorded ministry? How come only 3 years, God? Come on. The most important being in human history, and we get 3 years of his life, and we have some of his childhood as recorded in Matthew, but by and large, we have 3 years. That just doesn't make sense. And then when you realize that when the nice guy lenses fall from your eyes, and you see Jesus for who he really was, you think to yourself, I think to myself, how did the guy last 3 years? Look at how confrontational he is. Look how many people hate his guts. They conspire to bring him up on false charges so they can have him killed. And you know, when you read it for what it is, you can understand why they want him killed. Jesus is a dissident, not in a political sense, but in this sociological sense, which has political ramifications, don't get me wrong. But he is a dissident. He goes into the world and says, this isn't right. You know, the strong, they're abusing the weak. These hypocrites, they're telling people to do things that they themselves won't even begin to do themselves. This is wrong, and it makes his Father in heaven look like a hypocrite when the religious leaders do this. He loves his Father so much that he fights these things, and not he loves us so much that he fights for us. He is not some, I hate to say it, Todd, but I grew up with a kind of this Eastern mystical Jesus who kind of sat in the lotus position and, you know, drank green tea and just find us humans mildly amusing. That's not the Jesus of the gospel, man. He got down into the muck and mire of life with us because he loves us that much. But when we have the nice guy Jesus, no, he doesn't get his fingers dirty. He doesn't have bugs in his teeth. He doesn't sleep with his head on a rock. No, he's cuddly and sweet all the time. He's this cookie dough Jesus that we've been given. And I tell you what, Todd, I used to believe in that cookie dough Jesus, and he can't save you. He can't save you in a night of the lonely soul. But I tell you what, the real Jesus can. He can save you.
1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. We've got three free phone lines. Let's start with our listeners here in Port Washington, Maryland. Karen calls from Port Washington, and she listens on WAVA. Hi, Karen.
Hi there. I just want to make a comment. First of all, I appreciate what you guys are talking about tonight. I think that it's so true. And I think that one thing as women, you know, as Christian women, I can see in the churches that I've gone to of how women kind of contribute to this nice guy syndrome. And I think a lot of time, as women, we become less powerful when we start to act like men in a lot of ways, and how on the switch side of that men become less powerful when they start to act like women. And I see how and a lot of time in churches, like I have been part of a group of women whose sole focus is on like celebrating manhood and masculinity in our culture. And
God bless you.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal group. And actually, it's a group that was started by, like, non-religious women, which really convicted me when I went to the group. But these women are fully committed to just celebrating manhood and masculinity and really looking at, you know, the honorable qualities about being a man, you know, the honor code, the respect, the natural provider instinct that's inside of a man. And because, you know, as women in the church, we have taken on so many characteristics of the feminist movement of, and, you know, it's one thing, you know, to be a strong woman, which is a great thing to be. You need to be strong spiritually, but you also need to be a feminine woman. And femininity, I mean, feminism doesn't teach you to be more of a feminine woman.
Karen, thank you for the call. Paul, your response to Karen's comments.
Well, I think that is great stuff. You know, unfortunately, you know, she talks about this being a non-Christian movement. Sadly, that doesn't surprise me that she's actually had to hook in with that, because I don't think the church is really going to lead in that respect. You know, the fact is, and Karen points this out, that men are simply reluctant to lead in their homes. Many men feel that way deep inside. We don't want to be exposed for our weaknesses and our shortcomings. And it just seems to be how we're wired. We don't want to be embarrassed. And when our masculinity gets completely undercut on a regular basis, it's usually death by a thousand stabbings, right? It's not one big thing that happens to a guy. It's a constant stabbing that occurs oftentimes from women who have this desire to control things. It's that inevitable rub and conflict between men and women, often, certainly in marriage. What happens with that is that he just gets undercut on a regular basis, and men, and this may be something women don't quite understand, they're usually, what happens is they go into their man cave. They just withdraw. It is their passivity. It's the passive response. They check out. The television suddenly and the newspaper become far more, or a website becomes far more important than their own wife and their children. So to recognize that that sort of thing happens and to give a guy respect, not because he's perfect and that he does everything right, but the fact that he is at least trying to do things well, to have that kind of respect and have that kind of support, I speak from personal experience. I have a wife of basic goodwill toward me. I didn't always deserve that goodwill.
Got about 15 seconds here, Paul.
Yeah, my passivity didn't deserve that goodwill. She supported me anyway, and she helped rehabilitate my broken heart. And my soul was in trouble as well. And it worked really well. And I put that in my book, too. So if someone's interested in that story, it's in the book.
Paul Coughlin is our guest. We're talking about Christian nice guy syndrome. You know, the church doesn't need, speaking of pastors, so often set as an example for their people, the church doesn't need more nice pastors. We need good pastors, not these nice guys who are afraid of confrontation, who are afraid of saying something that might offend anyone. We need good pastors and faithful pastors. Now, if you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Many of our guests that you hear here on Issues, Etc., Larry Rast, Art Jest, Carl Fakencher, they're members of the Christ-Centered, Cross-Focused faculty at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, training men for ministry as good and faithful pastors. Their number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or you can find out more at our website, issuesetc.org, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Dr. Carl Fakencher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on good reasons to become a pastor.
Before I went to the seminary, I worked in business for a number of years, and I enjoyed very much what I was doing, but I realized that the aspects of my jobs that I appreciated the most certainly were the opportunities to be helpful and encouraging and supportive of the people who worked with me. And it was quite clear to me, without any question, that the way I could be most helpful to them was sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, their Savior. And I realized that if I became a pastor, that would be what I'd do all the time, and I would never be restricted in any way in what I could say. The help that I could bring to people that I cared about would be the help that was not just for today or tomorrow, but eternal.
To schedule an on-campus visit at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, call 1-800-481-2155.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you to pay the production salaries and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin asking you to prayerfully consider making a financial gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. You can donate by credit card, 1-800-737-0172. Or you can donate by check, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Here is our mailing address. It's Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Here's our resource line number, 1-800-737-0172. Now, you can use either of those to receive a free complimentary copy of our next Issues Etc. journal. It contains an article that I'm writing on Eastern Orthodoxy and its appeal. Or you can help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift. That address, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, and that resource line number, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. Up next from Minneapolis, listening on KKMS, Ray is on the line. Ray, thank you for waiting and welcome.
Yeah, Todd, speaking respectfully but firmly, your guest, Mr. Coughlin, talks about confrontation, and I hope he can handle this.
Go for it, Ray.
I listen to this program from time to time. I hear desperation. I hear dysfunctionality. I hear anger. I hear misogyny. I hear this fanatical defense of an orthodoxy that is already dead and decomposed. And I gladly see that this metastasizing cancer of fundamentalism is bogging down and self-destructing quickly. And I do hope you gentlemen one day will come into the real world. It's not about salvation. It's not about your non-existent male god. I happen to be a militant feminist, and I take serious umbrage, Mr. Coughlin, from your attacks on feminism and that pathetic woman who called from Maryland.
Well, Ray, it sounds like you're first of all, I'll let you get yours in there, Paul, but it sounds like your gripe is more with my program than with Paul's comments.
Well, both. I mean, I don't like the misogyny. I almost hear a closet rapist in some of these guys. Look, I want feminism to triumph. I want orthodoxy to go down the tube.
Well, thanks for being honest, Ray.
As a parent, Ray.
Yeah, go ahead.
Ray, real quick. In my book, I do make a distinction between what I consider to be legitimate feminism and what I consider to be this an overreaction and dangerous outgrowth of it. I talk in my book not really extensively, but enough to hopefully, show to my reader that women have definitely been discriminated against. And so I firmly believe that there has been an inequality against women. My beef with feminism has gone when it went into shaming the very soul of men for being men. And that's where my beef is. It sounds like, you got a beef with the show otherwise, but, to call me a misogynist, that's something else. I treat my wife extremely well. My agent is female, and Dr. Laura wrote the foreword to my book. Women, Ray, get the concept of my book, intuitively, largely because they are married to the kind of passive man that many of our universities, intentionally create. They intentionally create these weak men because, again, what's wrong with the world? It's men. What's the answer? Increase the feminine spirit. How about what's wrong with the world is that we're all sinners, and we're all self-centered largely, and we need to be saved from ourselves. We have sordid egos, Ray, and we have sordid appetites, and there's no real non-Christian cure to those things. We have to humble ourselves, and we have to change, and Jesus shows us how to do it.
Let's talk with Earl, 1-800-730-2727. He calls from Oakland, California, and he listens on KFAX. Hi, Earl.
Hi. Great show. It seems to me that the feminization of the culture would not have been successful as it is were it not for men, such as the previous caller. This constantly give grounds to feminist extremisms within our society. I'm just just a regular guy. I'm no
sure
great intellect or anything like that, but it just based on my observation. But my question is this Christian nice guy syndrome simply a reflection of the secular nice guy syndrome? This emphasis in Western culture and being a gentleman, putting women on pedestal for no other reason than the fact that they're women, to constantly give ground you get my point.
Certainly
huh?
do,
yeah.
Earl. It's a great question, by the way, where all men are basically this are encouraged to be and depicted as kind of the sitcom dad. He's a well-meaning buffoon.
Yep.
And pretty much has to be told where to go
yep.
each and every moment of his life by his wife.
Yep. Yeah, Earl, yeah, in response to your question, I have taken, again, there's three major sources. They're the three legs of the passive stool that men sit on. One of those legs, again, is a culture that is confused about masculinity at best, and that worst vilifies it. That's one of the legs. The other leg that I particularly write about is this caricature of Jesus, which is right up there with the Da Vinci Code, and I think so many of us have been indoctrinated with this false view of gentle Jesus, meek and mild. This is a person who called an entire group of people a brood of vipers fit for hell, whitewashed tombs, hypocrites. He turns to his own students and says, are you as dumb and dull as the rest? He talked about excrement going into a drain to illustrate a profound spiritual truth found in the Gospel of Mark. If anyone else said what he had said, we would turn around and say, well, that person has a potty mouth. But these are words that Jesus said again himself, let the dead bury the dead. I mean, come on, Jesus, how compassionate is that? But this guy had incredibly sharp, penetrating things to say to the world. And again, why? He wasn't showing off. He wasn't trying to be cute. He wasn't trying to curry favor. He loves us so much that he wants to set us free from false agendas, false beliefs, and like a good surgeon, he goes in and he starts cutting, and he does not once does he apologize for his sharp language.
1-800-730-2727. Very quickly, our time is short here with Jeff calling from Appleton, Wisconsin, listening on WEMI. Hi, Jeff.
Yeah, hi there. Yeah, I think it's really important, like, is to keep things real. You know, I mean, I see so many times when I walk into a church, I see these funny-looking faces with these goofy-looking smiles, and and people aren't being like real to each other.
Yeah,
and it even crosses the male-female barriers in which women too. Have this syndrome of, you know, I'm Mrs. Nicey Nice, and nobody, or not nobody, but people in many cases, they don't speak their mind. And even in a relationship to the pastor, many pastors are deified in such a way as you can't speak in a stern or in a one-to-one, guy-to-guy relationship with the pastor of the church.
Jeff, our time is short here. We got to respond to what you've given us so far, and thank you very much for the call. You've got about 35, 40 seconds here, Paul.
Hey, thanks. I think what he points out there is really we're being dehumanized. He is talking about women falling into the same problems as well, and I agree. Listen, when Jesus says we're supposed to behave like him, there aren't a whole lot of gender differences. We're to all be disciples, right? We are, of course, of our own gender, and that does mean something. We're made a certain way. But we're all supposed to be redemptive sources of light. We're all supposed to really battle the evil that we see around us. We're all supposed to be assertive in this sense, not just men, but women as well. Unfortunately, what's happening is we're being dehumanized. We're actually, everyone is really, men and women, encouraged to not behave like the real Christ of the Gospels.
Folks, we're coming to you live this Sunday night, August the 28th, and we will continue to respond to your phone calls and your email in the next hour. 1-800-730-2727. This break is a great time to call. We'll be giving away the book, No More Christian Nice Guy, by our guest Paul Coughlin, to listeners with the best questions and comments in the next hour. 1-800-730-2727. Call during this break, 1-800-730-2727, or just email us at issuesetc@kfuo.org. Now, you can only listen to the next hour on the web. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. When you get there, click listen online. You'll hear the entire next hour as we continue our conversation on Christian Nice Guy Syndrome with Paul Coughlin. Would the real Jesus, the Jesus that we find in Scripture, would he qualify to be a pastor in the church of today? Would he qualify to be an elder or a deacon in the church? A member in good standing, for that matter, with the things that he said and did? I doubt it. He's just not nice enough. But so what? He was good enough, more than good enough, to do what he has done for us. In fact, it is his goodness. It is his goodness that takes him to the cross through every obstacle and takes him there bearing our sin in his sinless body. And there as our Savior, as God in human flesh, he is fully man and fully God, dying sacrificially for us, the price that really, truly does pay the price for our sins. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Call during this break, 1-800-730-2727.
Listen to Pastor Todd Wilkin weekly on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172. Visit us this week on the World Wide Web. Our website address, issuesetc.org. issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.